Loving God, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we hear, we may hear your call to us as you have called Philip and Nathanael and Samuel. May your word work within our hearts, opening up our very selves to be receptive of your call, whenever and wherever it would be. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. I don't know how true it is, but recently I came across the following. The writer said, when Americans answer the telephone, most of them just simply say, hello. But this person says, I've heard that the response is a bit different in other countries. Germans answer a ringing phone with their last name, Peters. In Denmark, the Danes will answer with both their first and last name, Tom Peters. Russians say, I'm listening. Is that kind of what they say? The curious French say, hello, who's on the line? Italians greet callers with ready, upon which the caller demands, who's speaking? The Spanish give the command, speak. And the Chinese proclaim, hey, hey, who are you? Oh, Ed's shaking his head, yeah, so I guess there's some truth to that. You know, today, though, we often don't even pick up the phone unless we recognize the name or the number on our caller ID. We choose to ignore the call altogether. When the phone rings, we make a choice. Do I pick up, take the call, or do I ignore it? Today we have two Bible passages that are centered on the theme of being called. The child Samuel did not recognize that he was being called the first two times or three times until Eli said, Samuel, this time when you hear it, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Eli finally understood what was going on. Philip and Nathanael were called to follow Jesus. Now, Philip recognized it pretty quickly. Jesus saw him and said, come follow me. Philip followed. And then he went back to Bethesda and he said to Nathanael, we found the Messiah, the son of Mary and Joseph of Nazareth. And Nathanael had to get over a little bit of his snobby self. You know, he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But he finally went and saw and recognized the call and followed Jesus. Now, one point I want to make. We often think only spiritual leaders are called. But all of us are or can be called, and not just for religious duties, but to do something that God thinks needs to be done, or to say something that God thinks needs to be said. Now, I think if we believe that, it becomes just a little bit more difficult to ignore the call. There have been many times when I have felt a strong tug to say something to someone or to do something for someone. These are calls in my book, just like being called to the ministry or to some sort of mission. It might surprise you that many of those who go to seminary to become pastors often talk about their call, their sense of call, and how they resisted it for a long period of time. In fact, when in the Presbyterian Church, when we begin meeting with the preparation committee that we have to meet and get all these approvals for as we go through the whole process, one of the first things we have to talk about is our sense of call. Why we think we're called or how we were called. In my own sense of call to the pastorate, I was in junior high school delivering morning papers about 5:30 in the morning. Yes, there was a time when I did get up that early. When I suddenly had this sense that I should become a pastor. I talked to my pastor about it, and he was happy. All pastors are happy when there's a member of their church that says, I think I've been called to the ministry. But he also said, keep the doors open. So I kept the doors open. I got into high school and I became very enamored with music. My high school music program did all kinds of really neat things. And so I decided to go to college and get a Bachelor of Music and Music Education degree. But at the end of my sophomore year, some things transpired to make me rethink that career choice. And all of a sudden, I had welling up within me that sense of, maybe I need to think about the ministry. So I decided to go to seminary after college. Calls come in a variety of different ways. They come in the quiet recesses of our minds when we're quiet, reflective, meditating, or delivering papers at 5:30 in the morning. It can also come in the words of a friend. You know, you really should think about doing this. You should really think about saying this. It might come from a stranger. Maybe even a stranger that we just did something for, and that person said, you know, you're really good at this. Have you thought about doing this kind of thing more? Or maybe it comes through the need or the situation of a person that we help. And we think to ourselves, wow, that felt really good. Maybe I need to think about this kind of thing more. However it comes, though, we still have to make the choice. Am I going to do this? Or am I going to ignore it? Some are easy. We don't have to risk anything to answer. Other times, though, we might have to risk something to respond to a call. Maybe something comes right out of the blue and it demands some kind of a response from us immediately. We're on our way to do something else. Do I do this or do I go to where I was going to? Do I go to the meeting or whatever it was I was going to? Or do I help this person or do this thing now? Tomorrow, being Martin Luther King Day, I couldn't help but remember his sense of call. As we know, it was not always easy for Martin. There were a number of times that he doubted his sense of call. A number of times that he didn't know if he had it in him. I read this excerpt from BeliefNet. Martin is praying, Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I still think I'm right. I'm here taking a stand for what I believe is right. But Lord, I must confess that I'm weak now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage. And now I'm afraid. And I can't let people see me like this, because if they see me weak and losing my courage, they'll begin to get weak. The people are looking to me for leadership. And if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. And as he prayed alone in the silent kitchen, King heard a voice saying, Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you, even until the end of the world. Then King heard the voice of Jesus. I heard the voice of Jesus saying still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. That took place after he was in Selma doing protests, and he was arrested, and he was put in a car with several other police officers and driven out into the country, and he thought for sure he was being taken out to be killed. But they took him to the jail in Montgomery, Alabama. And then he got home from that jail, and that's when that prayer took place. Contrast that with the words from his last speech that have been so etched into the fabric of our nation. They were uttered in Memphis 4 days before he was killed. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will, and he's allowed me to go to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. I'm so happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. In the end, there was no way that King could ignore the call. The call that ended up taking his life 4 days later. He knew God was with him and that God would take care of him no matter what. Now, I think it's safe to say that none of us have to risk answering a call like that. But I would like to think that if I were, I could respond half as well as King did. Our calls may be to say something to someone that might not be a popular thought or a popular thing to say. Our calls may be to pick up the phone and to reach out to someone that God wants us to talk to. It could be a family member. It could be a friend or someone you're not fond of. Maybe even an enemy or even a stranger. But you've been putting it off. For whatever reason, you don't want to listen to that call. Can you continue to ignore that call? Yes. You have a choice. Just as Nathanael had a choice to continue to believe that nothing good could come out of Nazareth. Just as Samuel had the choice to roll over and go back to sleep, or even Eli could have chosen to tell the child, you're just dreaming things, don't pay attention. We always have a choice to ignore something. But at what cost? At what cost to ourselves? At what cost to those that we're called to go to or to speak to or to be with? I find it interesting that in call stories like Samuel's, there is a persistence to them. The calls keep coming until we do it. I know I'm dating myself here, but it's like those vinyl records that had those big scratches in them, and you played it and it would hit that scratch and then it keep playing the same thing over and over and over until you got up and moved the needle. Calls can keep at us until we get up and move the needle. Until we do what it is or say what it is that we're being called to do and say. God is patient, but God is persistent. I think that's the story that comes to us.